Harness Racing, Victoria wide. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
And on this Saturday, g'day from JT, welcome to A Talking Trots. After last weekend's big trotting extravaganza at Maryborough, and the big dance won't be too far away out of Tabcorp Park, Melton, because the road to the Breeders' Crown begins in earnest tonight out of Tabcorp Park, Melton. Let's bring in the good form gentlemen, the dynamic duo they are, Blake Redden and Jason Bonington. Morning, lads.
Darnus with faint praise there, JT, but...
Haven't used that one for a while either, the dynamic duo. I like it.
Yeah, Robin, that's you, and and I'll be the other bloke, and it's all good. You know, very much looking forward to getting stuck into this terrific program in the second half. It's 11 races at Tabcorp Park tonight, and it's the calm before the storm, so to speak, Baker, with the Breeders' Crown all around us and enveloping us like a tsunami.
It's almost moving day, isn't it? We've had Breeders' Crown
moving
heats
day.
Last night.
I like that.
Thanks, Bond. Breeders' Crown heats last night, night before, of course, and, of course, a big metro program headed into further Breeders' Crown races. So there's a bit going on.
Mm. Couple of nice Group 3 races tonight at Melton, and also the Minuteman free-for-all. So Trot's definitely in the spotlight as we head towards that rich payday late in August. All right, the week that was, gentlemen. Let's start with the Breeders' Crown. Fantastic day. Well done to HRV and the Maryborough Club. Red Rattler was an absolute classic. And Wobbly did the job and did it in fine style, gentlemen.
He's untouchable, isn't he? He just continues to get the job done. We'll talk a little to the controversy, I guess, surrounding the start. Having viewed the footage, I think it's fair to say that from the second line, he was at least halfway up the inside the horse before it started to drift down on him and pushed him into the sprint lane. He quickly got back out when he could. Stewart said play on. I'm pretty much happy with that decision. I don't think there's anything more Puppet could have done. And let's be honest, no matter what happened, even if Whiz Bang Dan knocked him down and he lost 30 metres, he would have picked it back up, he would have went straight round them, and he would have won anyway. Like, he's just that much better than them right now. So, terrific win. He did as he pleased. He ran time the whole way. He equaled the track record, so there was no loafing. He was leading by a big margin. He kept on charging, and I was really impressed by him. I know we've probably flagged this a little bit, that he's been a little underrated, but he just continues to get it done.
The only funny thing now is he could sweep the crown comfortably, and he wouldn't go any higher in anybody's estimation at the moment, because he's already had such a great season. I spoke with a Puppet, Chris Alford, of course, during the week, and we spoke about Noopy Kiosk, who I think probably rates as one of the most dominant sort of 2- and 3-year-old square gaiters of recent memory. Although we've had a few recently, I'm Stately and Blitzum Quarter of more recent times, but the record stacks up against anybody, JT, what he's been able to achieve this season, Wobbly. Now, the Baker boy is right as per standard, and we're not going to know much more for the next sort of 12 months. And certainly there will be some trotters emerge next season that we haven't seen much of or any of in their juvenile terms. But the way things stand, regardless of what he achieves for the rest of his career, Wobbly, one of the most dominant freshman trotters we've seen in Victoria and Australia for many a long year.
You can only beat the opposition that is there at the time, and Wobbly has done that. And in the Derby, well, Bell just blitzed all the comers.
Yeah, it was, we spoke about it last week, the fillies taking on the boys in the Derby, and Unbelalur, a triple Group 1 winner, double Oaks winner already this season, and a Need for Speed's Princess winner. She's done it over all distances, hasn't she? And she was able to outstay them, I guess, you know, off a soft run in the Derby. She found the front. She set her own tempo. She wasn't really ever pressured in front, and she just sprinted up and was too good. So, look, you can't take anything away from her, whether she's the absolute cream of the crop. I'm sure there are, you know, horses that maybe weren't there or that were there and had tough runs or things didn't work out given the nature of the race that can still match her at some point. But getting it done on the big stage, Bond, you can't argue with what she's doing.
A thought has just occurred to me that if it had come to me a little bit earlier, I would have researched this. But I think she might have not started favourite in any of her Group 1 wins. So I reckon Dance Craze was favourite in the Need for Speed Princess final. I reckon Kinvara Sue may have started favourite in the Victoria Trotters.
She was $1.90.
And Dance Craze, again, a dominant favourite in the Derby.
New South Wales Oaks, I'm not sure about.
That'd be close as well.
Yeah.
That'd be
Kinvara
close. Well, I reckon Kinvara Sue might have started favourite there as well. So we talk about Wobbly potentially not getting his just desserts or his due reward for what he's achieved this season, but Unbelalur is one because she didn't come in with that really high profile. Perhaps we don't realise just how dominant she has been. Four-time Group 1 winner. You've got some information for me?
I do. It's quite funny, though, because I'm pretty sure as a 2-year-old, there was a little whisper going around. We were seeing the Nietas and the other ones, and they were saying this one, Ballalore, could well be the best.
But even then, Nieta was the one that sort of had the bigger profile in the public sphere, at least. But you're dead right that they did say she was going to make the grade, JT. No doubt, as a three-year-old, she has taken all before her as well. Anything else to add to that one, Baker?
Kinvaras, who was $2.70 favourite in the New South Wales Trotters Oaks, just in front of Unballalore.
So four group ones, never as favourite.
It's hard to...
When will punters learn, JT?
Yeah, well, they're a very strange breed, punters. Sort of like my Pugalier being taken to the food bin. 7 second memory and away we go. Breeders' Crown, tell me about it.
Well, it's happening, isn't it? It's all about. We've had, as I mentioned, heats last night at Bendigo, but we also had heats the night before at Ballarat. The three-year-old fillies, we got to see Pataculla, who, Bon, I know you were quite impressed by her win.
Very impressed.
Also, Miss Graceland turned up and got the job done. I thought her last 100 metres was just, you know, exciting for the clash that they're probably going to put on. And we can talk about your poster boys and the other divisions, but I think this is the division. We've never really seen them at their absolute best against each other. We thought that might happen. Vic Bread Knight, Miss Graceland got fired up, did everything wrong. Tell Me Tales won the race. It could work out that this division and this Breeders' Crown could be just that race that we've always wanted to see between them.
I think the three-year-old boys is going to be a terrific category as well, but you're dead right, the three-year-old fillies, they've had a few opportunities, I guess, to meet at their best, and it just hasn't quite turned out that way of more recent times. We will speak about Pataculla a little bit more later on. I was very, very impressed with her. Some mild social media controversy there, but she is just absolutely outstanding. But there has been a compression at the top end. So the best three-year-old fillies, they aren't on their own anymore. Now, if you're not talking about the Breeders' Crown, but you're talking about three-year-old fillies in general, My Casino Bell obviously isn't too far away from them now. Sha Tin's outstanding. Tell Me Tales, the Vic Bread Super Series winner, is outstanding. So we have got a good serious amount of depth at the top end. Party On, of course, will be down for the crown as well. Spanish Armada, we won't see her again. She's retired. But a golden generation for the three-year-old fillies, and we're looking forward to a wonderful clash on Super Sunday, August 26th, in the three-year-old fillies final, JT.
Mm. Okay, look forward to the final composition of the fields as that's worked out over the next week or two. But August 26th is the big dance. And finally, Keystone Dell, good to see this square gutter back to the winner's stall last start, and he's in action tonight out at Melton.
Champion.
He is, isn't he? Well, we've said that for sort of 12, 18 months now that he's a champion. This is probably one I should have researched, but this had Takeover Target written all over it, and I'm not sure if it was a TJ Smith Stakes, but it was up in Sydney where Nash Road is an 8-year-old. He returned from a spell, and no one thought he could win.
About Nash Roding is an 8-year-old. Nash was in his 30s by then.
No, Takeover Target was 8. Nobody thought he could win, and he just turned up, and he was too good for them. That was the case on Sunday at Maryborough, wasn't it? You know, he started $6, and you look at it in reverse and say, what was going on? Keystone Dell, at his best, it'd be a $1.30 chance. So he was able to be driven a bit differently. He didn't have to go and assert himself on the race. He let it unfold, and he out-sprinted them. So I must say, of all the wins, and Wobbly was exciting on the day, I thought, you know, Keystone Dell, as much as anything else, was probably the most memorable moment.
Can't add much more to that. He was my highlight from the Redwood program, despite how good Wobbly and Unballalure were. To see the old boy come back, first up from a break, in a different role, coming from back in the field, three wide with the card, and exploding all over the top of them. Well, I'm going to reserve judgment whether he can do it again. I have got this thing in the back of my mind that first up from a break, with all the injuries that he's had in the niggles, that's when we saw him best in his last preparation. He only had a few runs, a brilliant, amazing first up win at Melton, then deteriorated a bit for the second run and fell off the perch completely for the third run. So I'll just await judgment on how he's going to go for the entire preparation until we see him tonight, but they can't take away from him what he achieved on Sunday, JT.
Fantastic return.
Talking Trot's run of the week.
All right, the 3-2-1, gentlemen.
Yeah, we'll start at the bottom as per usual and work our way towards the drum roll, but I was quite taken by the run of Rift Valley last week. She goes around tonight as well. She lost a lot of ground there at Maryborough, and it's hard to tell on the film. I was there at the track, and she lost more ground than you probably would suspect having watched the replay. She was never really in shot after she galloped early, but to sort of come up and be trucking up in between horses that last 200 metres, her effort was magnificent. So I wouldn't be surprised if she won tonight. It's obviously a pretty tricky sort of race, but definitely gets the one vote for me for the week. Terrific run, Rift Valley on Redwood Day.
Mm. Two votes, Pataculla. We've already spoken about Pataculla, but 56-8, three wide of the breeze against a filly who had been exceptionally good in the Queensland Derby, My Casino Bella, who Brad Hewitt's always had a very, very good opinion of. It was just terrific to see her back, first and foremost, because She was very, very good in the Vic Bred Super Series final, but I don't think even she was at her best because they
didn't... Oh, I disagree. Yeah.
Well, we've got different opinions. Yeah. That's okay. That's allowed.
It's hard when you've got a tearaway leader and you've got to chase her down and then hold off a very good horse sprinting at you.
I think the sectionals would suggest that she was better again the other night, so I'm expecting huge things, but just a wonderful performance. She looked like she had Mike Asino Bell on toast, and to be fair to that filly, she fought back very hard in the final sort of 50 metres, but Particular was entitled to say enough's enough. And in fact, this is what I say when people were talking about Lenny the Shark and the Blacks are fake. 99.9% of horses would have said, that'll do me, Pig, halfway down the back with Particular. But she's not that kind of horse. She just kept coming, and wonderful to see her back. But the drum roll is, I can hear
JT
it in the background.
JT knows how to time it.
Three votes, Baker.
A. Rambo. Aldebaran Rambo.
Aldebaran Rambo.
Again from Thursday night at Ballarat. I'm really taken by what this guy's doing at the minute. He is a serious trotting commodity. Rock and Roll Baby is no slouch. She was quite a good run in the Victoria Trotters Oaks, and he's had to sit parked, and he's just got that style about him, doesn't he? Sort of throws the front leg out there. He's still pretty raw and getting to learn the game, but Gary Leach has got a serious, serious trotter on his hands. So definitely the run of the week for me, Aldebaran Rambo, three votes.
This was history in the making.
And a mighty run by Popular Army scored by a metre.
Another moment from the vault.
You've sent me right back to the RSN back corner of our vault. 2012 is the year that you've pointed me to the 19th of August. Guys, which race am I dialing up?
It's going to be the Breeders' Crown two-year-old final. Bit of a legend for Crandall Getty. It was a much-hyped division. He was put out of the draw the week before the race in the heat, and he was given very little chance on the day by the time race time came, but he was the best horse.
Franco Nelson by a metre. It's a bit of a legend who's now starting to lay down the law. Three wide Lochinvar right there. Next is Ginger Bliss. Between runners Border Control, and then Lenny the Shark coming out four deep. Flaming Flutter held up from the Apache Kid, then Noah Saint. Third quarter, 28.1. Franco Nelson speeds up into the straight. Leads Bit of a Legend and Ginger Bliss. Bit of a Legend, he went a little bit roughly. Hung in on top of Franco Nelson. Franco Nelson fights back. Border Control gets out. Bit of a Legend put his nose in front. Bit of a Legend in front of Border Control. Bit of a Legend. He's a legend today. Bit of a Legend won it. Beat Border Control. Franco Nelson third.
Across Victoria, RSN 927 is Talking Trots. It's how we roll. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
Welcome back to the program. Let's take a good look at the 11 race card at a Tabcorp Park, Melton tonight. Big program, lots of winners. We bounced the ball at 5:33. A couple of early scratchings in this C2, C3 race. Guys, numbers 6, 7 and 9 are all out.
5, 1, 3 and 12 for me, JT. I'm going with Moonrock as one of the only stone cold certainties on the program for mine. It's a very, very challenging card. Moonrock came over here, of course, for the Vic Bred Super Series, did a really good job through that series. Hasn't got brilliant early speed, but should bully his way to the top tonight. Once he gets there, I think the rest of them are cooked, to be honest, Baker. If Kenrick can get across Sir Brigham, then hand up to Moonrock, I think it's probably your most likely silver medalist. And if Sir Brigham finds itself behind the leader, then I think it's your most likely silver medalist. But if you're playing exotics, play them both for second and play a little bit wider for third. Include horses like Emiliana, Carl McGregor, roll with it, and also Christian Major, who I think is underrated, but the second line draw here obviously hurts a little bit. 5, 1, 3 and 12 in the opening event.
I might have a sneaky little trifecta with Moonrock to win and Carl McGregor to run second and play those main hopes for third.
Right.
Second event at Six Bells. Guys, this is a C1 over 22.40. One scratching the emergency stays at home.
Amazingly difficult race, this one, JT. I've gone 9, 5, 2 and 3. I've always had an opinion of Four Stars Force, though he has been a real heartbreak throughout the course of his career. He's lost a lot more races that I think he should have won than anybody would expect. He has actually ended up winning a number of races by the same token. And two of his past three is encouraging for Mine Baker. I think he's paying around $7.50 in very earliest markets to go up. So I'm happy to have him on top. And I've got another one at value as his major danger in number 5, LTR. I've just got this feeling that Anthony Butt, being the aggressive forward-thinking driver that he is, will look to his left and say, I don't think anything's going to really try and hold me out here if I go flat stick for the first 250 metres. And if it gets to the front LTR, I think it can win. But look, if you're playing early quarter, spread the net as wide as you possibly can. Two, Most Happy Cullen was luckless in its heat of this series. Three, Willem, who I know you've got opinion of, Baker, was very impressive. The race was put on for it last weekend, but it got the job done. Flight off of some more VAR. It's very hard to know where to look here, but I'm going with Four Stars Forcer on top, 9, 5, 2 and 3. Nothing from Baker there.
Nothing from me.
Third race is a claimer. This is over the 22.40. They all start, Jason.
3, 4, 5 and 9 here, JT. I don't know why they decided to put in the change of tactics with Sir Ivanhoe last start at Swan Hill, but it worked a treat. They found the front, they led, they dictated, and he sprinted away from some good horses, Lucky Lombo and Letzalobe among them. I think it finds the front again tonight. Soho Monza should get across Tristan, but Soho Monza has handed up every time it's found the front on Victorian soil. So I think it will be handing up the front to the first appropriate rival. I expect that to be our Sir Ivanhoe Baker, but Save Some Time to Dream's obviously a class commodity. And the two ones that have got brilliant sprints in them still at this stage of their career, though they've become very, very one-dimensional, a Sapphire Swayze and Lovable Larrikin. So if they turned up in the right mood and on their best night, they'd be very hard to hold out. But little question marks over both, though. I was impressed with the first up run of Sapphire Swayze for Team Aiken. 3, 4, 5 and 9 in the third.
Nothing from me again. I'll wait for the next one.
On to a race four, last leg of the quaddy. Fixed with Tab, San Carlo Unbackable, $1.10. Beauchard, $7.50. Christmas Jolt, $9. And then Don't Hold Back is at $17. The one stays at home. And this, in fact, the one and the six stay at home. And this is a free kick in the first, in the last leg of the early quaddy. 16 from 18 to become 17 from 19, Jace.
Well, I've got a question for you first, Jace. What happens at the start? Because Bouchard can do things wrong. She's now drawn the pole with the scratching. Is there any chance that Christmas Jolt may chance his arm? Murundi Track obviously got across them last time. What do you think will happen at the start?
Yeah, well, you've read my speed map. Christmas Jolt, I think, potentially can get across the lot. Then
is he better just driven absolutely stone cold?
I spoke to Karen Manning about this. She doesn't think so. She thinks he can be used off the arm, but probably needs cover from there, you would expect. So I don't think San Carlo is going to get parked in transit. I think it'll find the front. Whether it gets there immediately or not is probably going to be crucial only to who runs second, because San Carlo still wins. And by that token, it's pretty comfortable that you can say that either Bouchard or Christmas Jolt will run second. They're very likely to run second and third as well. But if you want to add some value to those wider exotics, first fours I'm talking about, throw in Keep On Rocking, who's a very good horse, just drawn awkwardly. Don't Hold Back, who was disappointing last week, but most of its preparation's been pretty good. And Top the Ace, to be honest, is well in the mix here to run fourth, maybe even third if it's three poles in transit. So an interesting race, probably from a betting perspective, but really from a viewing perspective, it's just about watching the great horse, San Carlo, make it 17 from 19 as he heads towards the Breeders' Crown Graduate free-for-all. 3, 4, 2 and 7, my numbers.
Anything to add, Baker Boy?
Not really. It's as sort of Jason's outlined, I think from a betting perspective, it's going to be a bit tricky, but of course you'll be standing him out in all your early quaddies.
On to the first leg of the normal quaddie. This is an M1-M2 over 22.40, and they all run.
I'm going 5, 2, 8 and 1 here now. Major Dan is a horse with enormous potential, and it's going to start very short. I think it's going to end up starting too short. I've got a big opinion of this horse, but there's huge speed drawn inside him, and we know from history that he's a much, much, much more effective horse when he leads. I'm not sure he's going to get there. If he does, he wins. Easy. The $1.90 probably looks value, but I'm not so sure it's going to be that easy. Chantry's got good gate speed. So's Animated. Spirit Rider might even kick up a little bit. So if I'm playing quaddies here, Baker, first leg, I'm including 5, 2, 8 and 1, including Chantry, who might be the one to hold Major Dan out. Spirit Rider, who'll be very well suited from that pole marking draw, and even Real Stride, who'll need a lot of luck in the final 200 metres, but can be dangerous if he gets it. I know you think Spirit Rider's a good each-way bet.
He is. I'm happy to scratch Real Stride and put Yarrington to Bob in my quarters, because I think if they do go mad up front, he's the one who'll just get a nice sit, sort of 1-1, 1-2, and could be finishing on over the top of them.
On to race number six, this is the Minuteman free-for-all MO over 22.40, second leg of the quad. We have a fixed odds market with Tab. TCB McRae, who the Tubs have got low flying at the moment, 2.30. Mr. Mojito, 3.50. Burnham, a hold in my pocket at 4. It is Billy at 7.50. So come to you, Jace. Is the outside draw a concern for TCB McRae?
It's a big concern under the way the race, I think, will be run. So I best betted Batista Bid-McRae last week, and they opened it at a longer price than this week, which is just madness. Now, he did blow them away last week, but he was from a trailing draw in a restricted race in terms of not a free-for-all, back to free-for-all level here. I think they'll burn early, but I'm worried that there's no pace through the middle stages, meaning if TC Bid-McRae has to go all the way back to last, which is likely, he'll be having to take off three wide in last half where they might be about to go 55 flat sort of time. So if he can do that and still win, well, we already know he's phenomenal, but he goes up to another level again. I think he's vulnerable here, Baker. I've gone with Mr. Mojito on top as much as it breaks my heart. This horse, of course, ran fifth behind Hector JJ, Lenny the Shark, Myfield Marshall and Tiger Tara up there in the Group 1 Black Safake at Grand Circuit level. I think if TCB McRae has to spot him 10 metres or more when they hit top gear tonight, that Mr. Mojito might be a little bit too good. One of the two should win. And then you're out to horses like Burn a Hole in My Pocket, who needs to lead to win, and I don't think he's going to get there that easy. Kiang Steamer, who should be close to ready, third up from a long break. And also, It Is Billy, 2769. My numbers, your thoughts?
Oh, really tough race. I'd say, if anything, just teeting Jeff Webster's warning a couple of weeks ago, maybe Flaming Flutter could run a drum at sort of $6 or $7, or even his stablemate, Costa Del Magnifico, who's racing well, but incredibly tricky free-for-all.
On to race number 7. This is an MO over 1720. A few first up from a spell, Jace.
Yeah, one of them being our Maxim, who our listeners will remember, JT, came over here and swept the Victoria Derby Series about 4 years ago. He's a very, very good horse. He had a 3-year
Can you name
break.
The horse that ran second to him in that derby?
Ooh.
A stable mate.
Yeah.
Leader behind
our
leader.
Our Sky Major?
Our Sky Major,
yeah.
Correct.
They were both with Barry Purd. Then, of course, our Maxim now with Brent Mangos, who's a very adept horseman in his own role.
I spoke to Brent.
John Caldo.
A little early in the week, and basically just Barry's people still own it. It's just he's got a water walker, and given the horse's issues, that's probably the best place for him to be, with a little bit more, I guess, options for training.
Well, the form before he went for a break, particularly in mobile races, was outstanding. He'll lead these and bash them senseless. Let's put it that way. We're looking for exotics here again. 8 and 10 I put right in the mix there. Just Rock On By is going to probably have to follow through along the pegs from the inside second line draw, but has got a really good turn of foot on her day. It's Billy Hills is a horse I've always had time for. It's won 3 in a row this preparation, going really well. But look, if our Maxim gets to the top and just drops anchor, then you're going to be on the pace and on the peg. So I give Vinny Chase and Winger Tui Dew also a really significant chances of finishing in your trifectas or adding some value to your trifectas and first fours. 4, 8, 10 and 2, my numbers, Bakes?
Nothing for me. No.
Last leg of the quaddie is race 8. This is the Trotters free for all. A fix with Tab, Keystone Della 2, Maori's Favourite Son 4, Cardigan Boko 8.50, Kivelli Blur also at 8.50. I suppose the question here is, we all know the class of Keystone Dell. Second up after a lengthy spell. He's only had, what, 2 starts in just on 10, 11 months. Is there a concern re residual fitness, Jace?
I think there's more. To me, it's more of a concern that he turns up, and because he's a horse who's had so many issues, that he feels wonderful, fresh, and he comes out, and he did this last October in the True Roman Trotters Free For All, sits back and goes bang, and then he gets home, and the aches and pains and the things that have thwarted his last couple of preparations all start to kick in a little bit again.
He forgot to have the ice bath.
Yeah. So I've got him on top. You could not have him on top with regarding the devastating victory last Sunday, but I will say just a little bit of a question mark, and I would be watching markets also just to make sure he's very solid in betting markets. Here are the dangers. Number 4, Cardigan Boko, hasn't led since coming back to Victoria from WA. He was just a killing machine over in WA. Not a lot went right during the Summer of Glory preparation, but he did finish 4th. I think it might have been in the 4th or 6th in the Dullard Cup. It was a big performance. He came from well back, didn't finish far off the winner. So if he leads tonight, I think he's very dangerous. And the other two class runners for mine, class in inverted commas.
He did do the inverted commas, I can tell you,
yeah,
too,
no,
John.
No, I did. Kivelli Blur and also the Boss Man, who, Baker, is one of your favourites and is essentially fresh because he was deemed not to get a fair start in the free-for-all on Redwood Day.
Yep, really tough race again, given that we know Keystone Dell should be winning, but
Cardigan Boko, the best betting proposition for mine, JT.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, at the odds, on to race 9, the Trot T4 or better.
5, 6, 4, and 7, my numbers here, and we can get some value here as well. Very, very fast front line. It's always a question mark when you have such a fast front line, who's going to use their early speed. If they all use it, I think it's going to set up beautifully for Into the Unknown. We talk about race shape and the thoroughbreds. Well, the race shape's going to turn out a ripper for Into the Unknown if they all go forward. We know she can wind up spectacularly in the last 800 metres of her races. So she's on top. I've thrown in Charming Lavra for second and as the major danger under the other race scenario where she's so quick at the start, she just spears across and gets the top without spending too much fuel or getting into any sort of a war. Beyond them, Big Jack Hammer's racing really well, but I think he's the one that might be disadvantaged by the composition of the front line, and Seven Son of Anarchy would need them to go lickety-split and get a beautiful cart into the race, but could win if everything went his way. 5, 6, 4, and 7. Baker, anything to add there?
Oh, hard for me to go against one of my runs of the week, so if you're giving me $26, Riff Valley will have a sneaky little each way.
I'm only giving you 12, but you can still.
I might sniff out 26 somewhere.
All right, the last two guys, race 10 is a trot. We have one early scratching, number 3.
11, 9, 2 and 7 here, going with the class runners. These short course trotting races, often people get caught up in speed maps, but really the class horses normally win. The three class runners here, Rock Tonight, number 11. The two Aiken runners, Aim for the Moon and Tamati Success. I think one of the three will win. And if you're playing exotics, throw in number 7, Brandon's Price, for some value. 11, 9, 2 and 7.
And the last race, 11, one early scratching, Major Deep.
I'd like to see just a hint of money, just a minor push for Salade and Reba. If you see it, just launch in yourself, because I think it'll be too good for this field. Forget the first up run. Everything went wrong. Trial well prior to that first up performance. 5, 3, 8, and 4, my numbers. Major danger. Crockett's Cullen there, Baker. 5, 3, 8, and 4 to finish us off.
My best, I'm going to go early in the program and suggest a trifecta with Moonrock to beat Carl Matt Gregor.
And what about you, Bonners?
Well, good bookend the card here. I think if you go Moonrock into Slade and Ruby, you won't go wrong. But again, it breaks my heart, but at a little bit of value, take the 460 currently on offer about Mr. Mojito in the Minuteman free-for-all.
Where do we get all the form, guys?
Goodform.trot.com.au, and I can tell you it's going to be a monster game plan today. Huge amount of value bets there with such big fields and such open races.
We'll talk next week more about the Breeders' Crown then.
Thanks, JT. John.
Thanks, guys. Jason, pretty happy there getting the 460 fixed with Mr. Mojito. So big move in there to 350 fixed with Tab. Well, that's Talking Trot's done and dusted for another week. JT, on behalf of the lads, saying good morning to you. Riley Phelan with the latest in the world of sports in just a moment. Then the On the Punt team look at the Ori Star meeting at Flemington.
You can hear the replay of the best of Talking Trot's at rsn.net.au.